The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The war changed many things, the face of the earth and the people on it. Before the war, Frank Race worked as an attorney, but he traded his law books for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. And when it was over, his former life was over, too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race. Join Frank Race for the adventure of Free on a Mat.
A rainy night in Bordeaux. It was late. And the chill had become as insistent as the tone of a nagging woman. But I didn't care. I was only a few seconds from the Bar de Brie, a hostel of good liquor and interesting patrons. Here I was to meet Mark Donovan, and I stopped just short of the door. Someone was running. Suddenly, I caught the figures of two men.
Oh!
One of them had been hit. He lurched into my arms.
Let me go! Let me go!
Oh, it's all right. All right. Here, let me help you.
Come on, we better get inside the bar.
Mark, come on, will you? That people ain't kidding.
Well, that's Charles Borden you're propping up. Borden, Mr. Franklin.
Hello, Race.
A bullet. How badly are you hurt?
Well, if I could just sit down.
Here, the table, Race, for the war.
Well, that tears it.
What's the matter?
They followed us in here.
Never mind. Just ease yourself into this chair. Now, where are they?
The other end of the bar, Race. Three guys and the dame, the woman.
Remember Bergman and Intermezzo? You were a man, you thought of her as being everything a woman should be. Well, here was another one. The same honey-colored look, same expression about the eyes. Kind of woman to turn a man wistful, introspective. She stood at the end of a bar with a gun in her hand.
Yeah,
man. Huh? Well, she didn't find out. Coming in here. What about that wound, Bergman?
Well, there's some pain, but I think I'm going to be all right. Could I have a cigarette?
You're going to need a doctor. I'll get you the one to see you have a rest.
I will take a night of 50.
300 minutes?
I'm superficial.
No, only that it may burn my fingers. Here.
Thank you. Would you mind if I sat down?
And obviously, you're the exponent of the fait accompli.
My name is Marie Vartel. It is my intention to take these men out of here.
But why? What do you have against me?
As if you did not know.
Why don't you put that pistol away and not get alarmed people into calling the police?
I'm not afraid of the police.
I don't imagine you're afraid of anything. But strong arm methods aren't going to get you anything here. Borden's been hurt. I'm going to see to it that he gets to a doctor without interference.
I have three men with me. Each of them is fairly capable of a sort of thing. I shall give you about 50 seconds besides. But you should be sensible.
She never heard a word she said. But I couldn't let her take Borden. The gun she'd laid on the table was the only weapon showing, and I sensed that this was the instant to make a play. I shifted my hands to the underside of the table and
aimed.
Borden, get out of here!
Chase the girl! Watch it!
Choice, I'd just assume not.
You've got a nasty cloud on the sconce. How do you feel?
Oh, like a dying duck in a thunderstorm. What happened, Borden?
Believe it or not, he got away. He started quite a Brannigan, huh?
Yo.
Seems though every guy in the joint took it as a personal signal to start slugging the guy next to him.
Where are we now?
The back room of the joint. I give the gendarmes quite a pitch about be an innocent sightseeing American, so we don't know all the same. Want to get up?
Yeah, I'll get better. Careful, Mullen. I've got to get something straight, Marcus. I'm going to try talking to you. Where did you locate, Mullen?
One of them hotels on the list. The guy was scared, bitch. That's why I left the Metropole without no coordinate address.
But he was willing to come and see.
When I told him who you was and that acting indemnity had sent you over, he got downright eager.
When were you dumping that girl in the boyfriend's?
Three or four blocks from here. You know, I still don't get the reason.
I haven't the slightest idea, Mark. But I'm going to do my best to find out. George Seale, Paris representative of the Acme Indemnity Company, looked startled when I told him I had brought him in his office.
Why, for Pete's sake, Ray, do you mean that you don't know the story behind this affair?
When Dan Carlson called me for the case, I'd been in New York just 2 hours after the flight from Trieste. He said I'd get the lowdown from Borden.
Borden is coherent enough to give it to you. He was treasurer for the fund.
What fund?
European Children's Relief. Better than £500,000. You see, Borden had turned it over to a committee of three in London. The Countess d'Artois, Gilbert Evans, the diplomat, and Phil Gaynor, the American broker.
Mm-hmm.
Who was to know that Gaynor had just gone broke and would embezzle the money? He produced the signatures of d'Artois and Evans for the full amount, signed it himself, and that was that. Particularly pathetic because of the crop failures throughout the country. The kids are going to be in desperate need of that relief fund.
Do you know of a woman by the name of Marie Vartel?
No. Should I?
In one way, yes, but probably better off the way you are. I'm going to Bordeaux and look for her.
Marie Vartel. You would like to know who she is, monsieur. What?
She's very beautiful. Does it seem unreasonable that a man should seek information about her?
Marie Vartel. Monsieur, men used to pray by that name in this country.
Ah, then she must have been with the underground during the occupation.
In Bordeaux, monsieur, Marie Vartel was the underground.
Well, tell me, where can I find her?
If I tried to tell you that, I would be wasting your time. I do not know, monsieur.
It was the same way in other places. Many knew of Marie Vartel. None would say where she could be found. But finally, at the expense of $50, I got the lead I wanted.
Oh, it is you.
It occurred to me, Miss Vartel, that I didn't think to mention my name the other night.
Oh, your friend mentioned it during the fight. Mentioned it at the top of his voice. You're called Ray.
You don't seem at all surprised to see me.
I gave up being surprised several years ago. Won't you come in?
Thank you. Marie Vartel. You must have been a pretty beautiful member of the underground.
I was 17. You've been asking questions.
People talk because they seem fond of you.
What did you want, Ray?
What made you shoot Charles Borden?
What made you... You're laughing at me.
I'm completely still.
The next time I see him, Ray, I intend to kill him.
But why? Tell me why.
Borden has been custodian of a fund subscribed by the people of your country for the children of yours. He reported that it had been embezzled. The equivalent of $2 million of his dollars. $2 million intended for children. We fought for things like that during the war, Ray. And I have information that Charles Borden has that money himself. In cash.
It all shaped up as pretty much of a puzzle. My job is to get back that money. For the sake of Acme Indemnity and the kids of Western Europe. So I felt I was getting a definite break when Borden called me that afternoon.
I've tried several times to get in touch with you, Mace.
Yeah, I've been in Paris. How are you feeling? Borden, we haven't had a chance to talk, but I wish you'd tell me if you know anything concerning the whereabouts of that money.
Why, it's in London, Race. I sent it to my brother there.
You? But I thought the money had been stolen.
It was stolen, but I got it back.
Look, Borden, I seem to be all mixed up about all this business. I'd better see you and talk to you.
Sooner the better, Race. I'd like to share my worries with you. Perhaps my safety.
He gave me the address of a hotel nearby, and I went there at once. I found him in a dressing gown, his left arm in a sling. He was smoking a lot of cigarettes.
Well, I got something new to fret about now. I have a feeling that someone listened in on our phone conversation just now. Could be rough on my brother.
What about your brother?
Well, he's Dr. Jonathan Borden. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Yes, the literary authority.
Oh, that's right. You see, he's in London doing a work on the life of Charles Dickens. I sent him the money simply because I had to get it off my hands.
Borden, would you mind briefing me on something? If the money was embezzled, how did you happen to have it?
Through a fluke. You see, I've been suspicious of Phil Gaynor. When he made his move, I was right behind him. I happened to catch up with him in a hotel room in Lyon. Rather, I caught up with the bag containing the money.
Mm-hmm.
Gaynor had stepped out, so I just carried the bag away. And it's been like having a time bomb in your possession.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Race, 6 attempts on my life have been made in the past 4 days. I realize now that I may have placed Jonathan in the same position. He isn't well. He was with the Marines in the South Pacific, and he suffered wounds that left his heart in pretty bad shape. I wish you'd go to London and take over. I'm worried about Jonathan.
In London, I found Dr. Jonathan Borden in the midst of a puzzled mood and an upset plan. He stared at me when I mentioned the money.
£500,000. Then that explains this very cryptic note I received from Charles. Here, listen to what he wrote. I'm sending you the money in charge of Dodi. For heaven's sake, take good care of it. What could he mean by that? I haven't received any money, and why would he do a thing like that? Why didn't he just turn it over to the French police?
I'm afraid your brother isn't in what we like to term a normal state of mind.
Oh?
He's been attacked and harassed continually for several days. He's been under drugs for a gunshot wound.
Oh, yes, yes, I realize he's in trouble. That's why I'm packing to go to France. And I'd like you to go with me, Mr. Race.
Dr. Borden and I reached Bordeaux late that night. There was no rain, but the city lay soggy in the grip of a heavy fog that had drifted in from the Atlantic. We went straight to Charles Borden's hotel.
Funny. He doesn't answer.
Is he usually a heavy sleeper?
Well, not as a rule, but if he's been receiving drugs...
Let's try the door.
Well, he's asleep all right, but...
I caught the impact of it at the same time. And then the twist of Charles Borden's head and the grotesque stretch of his body beneath the bedding. Charles Borden was dead. Someone had cut his throat.
We'll return to the adventures of Frank Race in just about 1 minute. To the adventures of Frank Race.
Looking at what was left of Charles Borden suddenly left me weary and depressed. A man I had been trying to protect, murdered. Whatever the reason, this was one kaleidoscope of crime that assumed too many shapes for me. I needed straightening out on it. So I went back to the offices of the Acme Indemnity in Paris. He caught George Shields on the verge of taking a client for lunch.
You know Gilbert Evans, don't you, Race?
No, we never met, but I remember the name. You served on the committee of the Children's Welfare Fund, didn't you, Mr. Evans?
That's right. A very unfortunate business.
I cannot be curious about something, Mr. Evans.
Oh?
How was it that Bill Gaynor was able to persuade you to sign that welfare fund check with such a lot of money?
I didn't sign anything. My name on that check was a downright forgery.
I see. And how about the Countess d'Artois? Was her signature a forgery, too?
Well, that I can't say. You might ask her.
Emily, Countess d'Artois. She came down to greet me and show me something. It looked as though it might decide to stop clinging at any moment. She was quite a dish. And well aware of
it. I'm told you came to see me about Phil Gaynor.
Yes, ma'am.
You know Phil?
Not at all. But I'm doing my best to remedy the situation. You're an American.
Yes. Does that destroy your illusion?
You'll do in any language.
You're quite correct, aren't you?
Did Gaynor forge your name in that check, too?
No. No, I thought. I thought Phil was all right now. that important?
Frankly, I don't know. You ask a question here and there, possibly you learn something. Or maybe a waste of time. No male would ever call you a waste of time.
Oh. Well, that sounds like something you should drink. What would you like?
I'd say the same thing for the episode.
Oh, I think I'll have the same.
You had plenty of firepower. The effect wasn't what you'd call unpleasant. The way she manipulated that figure had me making metal passes until the absence turned me into the physical type, at which point I reached for the woman. By the time I let go, in spite of the absence, I had this girl pretty well tagged. It was a surface that centered, but with a core that operated at 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Why do you look at me like that?
Trying to figure your angle.
What's the matter, Ray? Suffering from an inferiority complex?
Well, let's not fret about me. I've been to market before and had buyers. But you know it.
You know, Ray, I could like you. I could like you a lot.
For myself alone.
Have another drink, darling. You'll be happier without those suspicions.
Maybe you're right. Guess we can have fun without being soulmates. For a while, anyway. You and Phil Gainer, weren't you rather fond of each other?
Should I say yes? What do you think? But you're...
Careful, Countess. The past is showing. I suppose you can take him and leave me.
That's right. Same way I feel about you.
I don't think I'm going to be too bad with you.
If I were in the mood, I'd offer you big fat odds on that.
It was almost as soon as I left her place that I got the feeling of being tailed. I went for a couple of blocks, and as I was about to cross an intersection, a cab swung to a stop at the curb in front of me.
You've had enough time for strolling. Get in.
Sorry, my mother always taught me to refuse rides from strangers.
Don't try being clever. Unless you want to start out with a split in your skull.
She had no sense of humor. And since this condition went with a pair of eyes like lead pellets, I repressed an impulse to be split. Besides, he had two other similar personalities with him. So I became a passenger and ended up in a cheerless-looking room over a vacant shop.
Now, Ace, maybe you'd like to tell us where we can find that money, huh?
If I don't, I suppose we're going to play games.
We can be friends if you want it that way. But friends do favors for each other, no?
Well, what happens if I give you a fast, handsome answer that turns out to be a dud?
You will still be here. We will merely come back and discuss it with you again.
Well, who gave you the idea to get this information out of me?
Where's the money, Ace?
Let's see now. What can I tell you to postpone this buffeting I'm due to receive? After all, there's always a chance for cavalry might arrive.
Maybe this will stir your thoughts.
Well, looks like a railway express, though.
So it is. We found it in your hotel room in Bordeaux, in the pockets of a jacket.
I remember the way he said that. I picked it up in Charles Borden's room while his brother and I had been waiting for the police. I'd left it here and forgotten about it.
Well, Ace?
Didn't you check on it with the express office?
Since we could not provide the name of the person to whom it had been issued, it would give us no information.
That's it? Mm. You mentioned my name, didn't you? Well, to prove I had nothing to do with it.
Not at all. You could have used another name?
Yes, I could, couldn't I? All right. Where do we go from here?
Where is that money, Ace?
I sent it to London.
So? You sent it to London? Oh. We'll try again. We'll go on trying. Where's the money?
There's only one way out for me. I gave him another snappy answer, and when he swung this time, I
leaned into it.
I came out of it looking into the brown eyes and honey-colored hair of Louis Bartel. I took a second or so to lick the dryness from my lips, and then managed to grin up at it. She smiled back at me. It's faint, but it was a smile.
How do you feel, Ray?
You keep rough company, baby.
All right, Ray, on your feet.
Let him alone now. My instructions were for you to follow him. Nothing else.
This is the faster way. Get up!
Now, why do you want you to play like that and I'll set your head with his sister?
You go too far, Marie. I should take that trinket away from you.
Oh, and will you try it now? No. Then get out of here.
Yeah. You have a way with it, baby.
Yeah. Let me help you out.
Thanks. What do you have two ways with it? You're not very big, are you?
I don't like men to touch me.
Well, this is truly ingratitude.
Anger? Or that ingratitude to
you? I think it started off that way.
You're free to go. You hear that, man?
Tell me something, please. Huh? You on the level with this very large business?
Yeah. Oh.
Or are you really after that money for yourself?
What good would it be for me to say?
Oh. I can't understand why you don't concentrate on Philip Gainer, the man who got away with the money in the first place.
Gainer is dead.
Dead? How do you know?
People,
she handed me a piece of cut-out newspaper, dateline London, it was 3 days before. And it told her the finding of the corpse of Philip Gainer, a London businessman of American citizenship, and mentioned the details concerning his embezzlement of the welfare fund. According to the account, none of the money had been found in his body.
Did you see right?
I wish I did see. Wonder how he died.
I would say he was murdered. Wouldn't you?
Oh, brother, what a way to stop this poor dude. More fog and a 3-day hangover. How's your noggin, by the way?
Well, my head's just about level.
I'll be okay. Clouds inside of a week. Next time, how about ducking a little quicker?
What did you find out at the express office?
I just mentioned the name Borden, and they told me all. But there was no doing. Well, just the shipment of books. That means something?
Not at the moment. Look at the condition of my head.
Yeah. No, just a second. Here. Dr. Jonathan Borden.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, doctor.
I called to see if you turned up anything, Race.
I wish I could say yes. Everything seems to be just as muddled as before. Incidentally, did you get some books that Charles sent you?
Oh, yes. They caught up with me this morning after going to London and back. A lovely centennial edition of Charles Dickens. Any significance?
If there is, I haven't sent it.
Oh, by the way, while I was out yesterday, I had a caller. A woman by the name of Bartell. Do you happen to know...
Marie Bartell.
You sound perturbed.
A little. It occurs to me that we should get you back to London as soon as possible. Marie Vartell, the most provocative unknown quantity in the case. Marie Vartell. Marie Vartell.
Come on, Ray. Wake up, will you? Come on. Come, time to get down for dinner. Come on.
Dinner? I haven't been sleeping that long.
You've been talking it off ever since that guy fought.
Yeah. Dr. Borden. Yeah, I remember. Said something about a set of books. I wonder what... Mark.
Yeah, what's that?
Books. Dickens. I've got it. Come on. The window a little higher, will you, man?
Yeah. You know, chump, the gendarme's magic going is we are liable to spend no little amount of time in the Bastille. It's too late to turn back now, and we have already broken and entered. Great.
I have cases of books on the table.
We open them first. It's gone. We're already in the table.
Find David Copperfield.
You're looking for deodorant, nothing in it, look.
I think you're repeating a mistake that was made before, Marcus, being too hasty. Unless I'm very wrong, these... Yeah, you see? This is one of those editions where the pages have to be slipped.
So slipped?
Yeah. There you are. A brand new £1,000 note.
Look, the book is loaded with.
I thought I heard someone in the street.
I hope you'll forgive us, but we're rather anxious to check this little matter.
We found the money.
Yes. Now we must see that it gets to the proper authority.
Well, naturally, I'll take care of that.
Why should you?
Well, for one thing, it's in my possession. I also happen to be Charles Gordon's brother.
As my friend here would say, in a pig's eye, you are.
What do you mean?
If you were Dr. Jonathan Borden, you'd be an authority on Charles Dickens. As such, you'd have known what Charles Borden meant when he mentioned Dodie. That happens to be the pet name David Copperfield's first wife had for him. No, you're not Dr. Borden, but you're his killer. You moved in and murdered him when you learned he was being given custody of the money. You're Phil Gaines.
Yeah, and don't reach for a gun, boss. I already got one in your neck.
Yeah, but you can never talk to the boss. You heard him. Let it drop.
Come in, Countess. You see, Race, my ace in the hole turns out to be a queen.
Yeah, queen of clubs.
What's our next move, sir?
Well, we can't very well take these two with us, can we, darling?
And we can't very well have them yapping at our heels when we go.
It's really quite simple. We shoot them and get out fast. You take one, I take the other.
Well, Race, at least you've seen the world.
See Bordeaux and die. Get it, Countess?
Let's get it over with, sir.
All right. Ready? Now!
I was curious about this one
of Ruby O'Reilly. Marie Vartel.
You and Steve have been money close to age George, won't you, Ray?
Yes, but, you're leaving?
I think you have an idea of Steve leaving the top,
don't you? You'll stay in Bordeaux? What? Well, because if you're here, I'll come back. So, hang around, baby, so I can see you again.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins, with Tony Barrett as Mark Donovan, comes to you from Hollywood. Others heard in tonight's cast were Gene Bates, Gerald Moore, Jack Carrington, Michael Ann Barrett, and Paul Dubuff. This series is written and directed by Buckley Angel and Joel Murcott. The music is composed and played by Ivan Ditmar. Be sure to be with us again this time next week for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Race. Mark Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.